Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 114. 114 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson.
And this is Mark Vila, and today we're here to talk to you about how to raise your prices.
Yeah, and we picked that title specifically because half of you are drooling right now.
Yeah.
And half of you are aghast that we might suggest that you may one day want to raise your prices.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about all
that. Yeah, and then a few people would have already skipped this episode if they weren't driving and couldn't unlock their phone. So don't do it yet, because this is an opportunity for you to make some more money.
Yeah.
And by raising your prices. And we'll start the podcast off to say that it's brought to you by Coldesi, where we both work.
We both work at Coldesi.
And one of the things that we do, which is the reason for this podcast, is we talk to a lot of small business owners. If you are a first-time listener here, mm-hmm. Or a new listener, we are constantly talking to small business owners, whether it's our collectively as a company, so our sales team, our technicians, our trainers, and the folks in the marketing department and online. And one of the things that oftentimes people struggle with is making enough money, especially while they're learning their business and trying to figure out how to get this thing off the ground.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's something that can help you out.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that we've run into as well is I'm always amazed at what an emotional issue pricing is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd think, and I mean, you guys out there know what I'm talking about, that it's not just, you know, you're not calculating what your price might be. You know, it's like a personal thing for a lot of small businesses, especially if you're a home-based business and you're doing something creative, doing something you love, just getting started. A good percentage of you are really heavily influenced in your pricing by how you personally feel about money.
Yeah, yeah.
And like a lot of people that I talk to, really don't think that they should make that much money. They feel bad when they make a lot of money.
Yeah,
that is not me. I feel better. You know, so you've probably got some emotional, I'm going to call it like barriers to making money that is related to how much money it's okay for you to make.
Yeah.
Doing what you're doing. About feeling bad when you think you're charging too much, even though you don't know why you think you're charging too much. And on the other side, there's some of you that shouldn't be charging that much.
Yeah, there's a limit.
It's a pride thing. Like, mm-hmm. I did this, I spent all this time, you know, it's worth, you know, it's a $50 t-shirt because of what I put into it.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's right? So we're going to talk about really how to raise your prices, but there's a level of balance here on knowing how to raise prices to the point where you are optimizing your business for what you want to do,
right.
Making the right amount of money for the right amount of time you're putting it in. And you mentioned about how you feel about money, and the reason I think that it is time is one of the – your time is one of the harder things to make money on.
Okay.
Right. So one of the things are, you know, somebody, say, just buys pens like this.
Okay.
Right. And they go ahead and they buy a bunch of pens, and then they take the pens and they put them in a store, and then they sell them to people who walk into the store.
Okay.
And they make an extra 20% from what they paid for it, or 30% from what they paid for it.
Fair.
They don't. There's not time involved in that really for them, for this type of a transaction. So they bring it in, they sell it. They bring it in, they sell it. There's no time. It's easy to just say, you can calculate all the reasons why you charge that much. Well, I have to make a profit. It costs time in the store.
Yep.
Sometimes when I order pens, they're all broken, so I have to account for some sort of loss. Sometimes people steal them. They're shrinkage.
Percentage of your display space.
Yeah, there's all this stuff. But other times you have somebody who is, I don't know, some sort of a metal forger who makes metal pens and fills the ink, and it costs them nothing to make it.
Yeah.
But it took them hours to make this pen.
Right.
And it becomes this $100 pen. You guys are selling that type of a product. A hat costs you $2. How could you possibly sell it for 30?
Yeah. That's
and
a good
it's
point.
It's all your time, and it's all your investment, and it's everything you learned. And that's kind of the point behind this, is that I embroidered some hats this week.
Okay.
And, man, that just I can just think of the amount of hours that I've spent over the years just trying to be able to learn how to do that.
Yes.
It's not just easy. You walk in, and anybody can do it, so you deserve some money for being able to know how to do that,
yeah,
and for having some equipment.
But see, now you're at this, at you're attaching a moral value,
yeah,
to your time by saying that you deserve to get paid because you worked that hard.
Yeah.
Well, if somebody could buy the same hat for $2,
mm-hmm,
and you're charging $30, then that's just not true. Then you just should have made the decision not to spend that time, because it's not going to be worth it financially.
Yeah. Well, and they can't buy the same hat for $2, because you've got to take 10 cents worth of stitches.
Yes.
And put it on that hat in the shape of a logo.
Sure.
And it's got to look amazing.
Yep.
You know, so, and all of that is worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
So how do we do it?
Okay. So I have no idea.
You've told a story before, I believe. About
yeah,
this.
And this okay. is really kind of about the perception of pricing, and the impact of how you price your work on your life,
mm-hmm,
right? Especially if you're a one person business, this is your sole gig. There was a told the story before. There was a gentleman in a pretty rural area up in the Midwest who had purchased a Digital Heat FX, mm-hmm, printer. And we didn't hear from him. Like, he went through training and he was making sure it's okay. And we didn't hear from him for probably 4 months after he bought the printer. And then he started complaining about not being able to make enough money.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the Facebook groups and you know, he was calling support and complaining. It was too expensive. It was taking too long. And he was basically going out of business. So I reached out to him, and we spent a little bit of time on the phone, and we talked about his business and his marketing and everything for a half an hour before we landed on the idea that he had purchased the system wanting to make t-shirts in his immediate area, which, mm-hmm, was very small,
mm-hmm,
and there was a screen printer in the area that was charging $8 a shirt. So he was charging $8 a shirt. And we did the math between the lease payment and the cost of the Easy Peel paper,
mm-hmm,
and the cost of the t-shirts that he was doing, and his costs were more than $8 a month.
Or $8 a shirt.
$8 a
yeah.
shirt.
Well, close enough.
Right. So, same thing. So basically, the more orders he got, the more out of business he got.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what he was doing. Maybe he didn't feel like he deserved more. You know, or he didn't take a rational look at his pricing model. He never looked at, you know, what his pricing was compared to his competition, and he never explored the idea that he could raise his pricing.
Yeah.
He was sure that he couldn't.
Yeah.
Because you could buy shirts somewhere in the world for $8.
Yeah.
That he could not charge anymore.
You can buy anything anywhere for five times what you're paying for it now,
yes,
and five times cheaper than what you're paying
That's
for.
That's absolutely
It doesn't
true.
Matter what it is. It
yeah.
just it doesn't matter what it is. And I know you feel bad when it's the exact same product sometimes, right? Like you just bought, and I got a water bottle here, you know? When I buy them at Publix, it's like $6. That's a grocery store around here. When I buy them at Costco, which is another larger
right.
store, it's like $3. And I'm like, it's a bottle of water.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
there's no real difference. But the Publix is a whole heck of a lot more convenient. I go there, it's right around the corner from my house. It costs twice as much money, but they don't have a massive location and an annoying process to get through to purchase things.
Yeah.
So it's, you've got to, just because that guy could have, his competition was selling the shirts for $8 doesn't mean that his shirts are worth
right.
$8.
Right, and this is an extreme example of the impact that pricing things incorrectly can have on your business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was literally going out of business because he wasn't charging
and
enough,
not even realizing it.
Did not even know.
Yeah, because you're not factoring in the, because you bought the paper here and then and then you bought this here and then,
yes.
and all of a sudden it feels like you've got money coming in, and then finally when the money goes to go out again, you're negative, you know, but you're also putting it on a credit card. You maybe aren't doing your math all on there and everything else. You're spending it on.
Yeah, so it'll take you 4 months to realize that you're going broke. Now, the other side is true, though, too. In spite of convenience, pricing stuff too high can be tricky.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of, so for example, if your pricing isn't matching your market, like if you take the $8 shirt on the cheap side, if you tried to sell an $8 shirt in a really nice men's clothing store,
mm-hmm.
I just imagine that it would not sell as well as it would at Walmart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because you're not expecting, if you see an $8 shirt in a high-end men's store, you're just going to assume there's something wrong with it.
Yeah, this is the one that nobody wanted, and it's on clearance for some reason. That's not cool.
I'm not even going to look at it.
Yeah, the one that's $25 over there, that's the one that it's fresh, it's brand new.
Yeah.
You know, and there is that perception.
Yep. Then again, if you're doing a simple white lettering on a black T-shirt and you want to get $35 or $40 for it, that may be too much, and mm-hmm. it reduces the number of people that are going to buy your garments. And while each individual sale might be profitable, your overall business isn't going to make it.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about this a lot of times, and this isn't the exact episode for this because we can go into it, but there's so many reasons why you can charge more.
Yeah.
And so maybe a bird's eye view or some of these things are like with the digital printing. He could have printed a shirt like right then and there for somebody.
While you wait.
In like 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
And the screen printer's probably not doing that for most all of his jobs.
Guaranteed.
Unless the screen is literally on the press and the ink was on the press and the shirts were in his hand. He's not going to just print you one more.
Right.
So there's that. It's also, you know, the amount of colors. A digital one can be 100 colors. The screened one's probably not more than 4.
Yep.
You know, and these are typical things. The same thing, and it goes true with everything that you do out there, and it doesn't matter if it's if you're doing vinyl T-shirts or embroidery or DTG printing. There, when you start comparing it with other things out there, there's something that you can definitely deliver better than somebody else who's charging cheaper. So you've got to focus on that stuff.
Yeah. So now I'm going to test you. You had a good question
Okay.
Right before the show mm-hmm. went on the air, and I don't remember what it was.
Okay, well, you talked about raising prices.
Yes.
And then the big question is, how do you know when you're raising them too much? It's a scary thought.
Yeah, I get that. And it's easy for me to talk about this because I'm not selling shirts in the market,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
So I don't have anything at stake.
Yeah.
So in general, when you're pricing things too high, if you're already in business.
Mm-hmm.
If you're already in business and selling shirts, you know if you're pricing things too high when people don't buy them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really it.
Yeah.
You know, is the market is going to tell you what your prices should be. If you make your own designs and you try to sell them and you've got your market defined and you're doing everything correctly, you know, you've got a good marketing strategy behind it, and you're selling them for, you know, $30 and no one's buying them,
mm-hmm.
You might want to try it at $25.
Yeah.
Right? And then if more people buy them, then you'll know you're closer to the right price. So that's the idea behind pricing strategies, is we've had different prices on different supplies and equipment that we've sold. You know, we've experimented with different prices. And what we find is sometimes when prices are too low, the number of sales go down,
mm-hmm.
right? Because people don't value them the same way. And when prices are too high, we don't sell enough of them to keep that product here.
Yeah, and there's also, when prices are too low, you don't profit enough to be able to stay in business.
Yeah.
And offer a specific level of service that you want to offer.
And this is one of the ideas behind testing for pricing, is it could be that you have something that you sell for $20 very profitably,
mm-hmm.
And you're happy with it, but it could be that if you sold it for $18, you'd sell 150% more.
Yeah, that's the really tricky stuff.
This is where it gets tough, because remember, the idea isn't to sell shirts.
Yeah.
The idea is to make money.
Yeah. It's to be profitable, be in business.
Yeah.
Create something that you could pass on to other people, live the dream, enjoy doing it. Not hate doing it.
Yep.
Not missing everything you have to do, everything else in life because you're trying to do this just to stay afloat.
The
opportunity, the opportunity for you is to be able to create something that is the dream, right?
Right.
And this is part of it. So one of the classic things that happens is somebody starts off as a small business, mm-hmm. they're just getting going, and now you're selling shirts for $12.
Yep.
Right. And just on general, you're selling embroidered hats for $12, whatever the number is for whatever it is. And you're not making enough money to make this sustainable.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is where this really is important for you at this
point. Yeah. And by the way, if you have not listened to prior episodes on developing your pricing strategy, then what probably happened is you came into the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group.
Yeah.
And you said, hey, I'm selling this t-shirt. How much should I charge? Right? And you're going to take a consensus.
Yeah.
Which I like as a good, yeah. as a starting
that's
point.
That's actually much better than driving down the road and seeing a sign for someone that says $8.99 hats and then you decide to sell hats for $8.99.
Absolutely. Or doing a Google search for people in your area.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. So at this point in time, this is where you've got to start to go up. And we're going to talk about how you can increase these prices because you are at the most danger of anybody, is that you're selling shirts that aren't profitable, whether it's in time or it's in actual dollars. So yeah. The example you gave earlier, that's in actual dollars. The other is in time where you start doing the math and you're like, I just paid myself $4 an hour.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm just going to ask everyone that's listening to this podcast, please do the math.
Yeah.
You know, don't ignore it. Don't assume that because you're selling t-shirts for $20 each that you're actually making money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you don't do your numbers, you don't know what's going on with your business, and if you don't know what's going on with your business, then the likelihood of you failing in business is significantly higher. So let's go ahead and get into maybe testing some strategies of increasing pricing, and then we'll pepper in some more of our thoughts on all this stuff throughout we do it, right?
Or salt in.
Yeah.
Depends on your favorite spices.
No, I got blood pressure things. So I'm avoiding
okay,
the salt.
Gotcha. That's a myth. all right. So the first one is actually one of my favorites because I named it myself.
All right.
And I named it after one of my favorite books.
Yeah, Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah, The Tipping Point. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. But what I'm going to call the tipping point method to raising your prices is just to do it slowly. You know, so if you currently sell online or in person, either one actually, you know, try raising your prices by a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm talking about a little bit, I'm not talking about pennies.
I was thinking a penny.
Were you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
take
a while.
Make a difference.
It would take a while to get there, but you'd nail
it. A penny a minute.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There we go.
So what I'm going to suggest is that if you sell shirts for $15, that you try selling them for $16 or $16.50 mm-hmm. or $17,
mm-hmm.
and you measure the difference in the sales. Now, this is kind of an A or B, because you're not doing them concurrently necessarily. You're just going to gradually raise your prices a little bit at a time, and you're going to look at your sales every week or every day or every month, and you're going to pay attention to two lines. The first one is the quantity,
mm-hmm.
and the second is your profit. Right, so if the quantity keeps going up or stays the same as you raise your price on your shirts, that's a huge win.
Yeah.
Because you're making more per shirt and you're selling more shirts. And believe it or not, that does happen.
Now, I'm going to make this I'm going to make this extremely harder for
okay,
you right
go.
Now. Okay,
I'm
so
ready.
You are a newer, smaller business.
Yes.
So month one, you got two orders. Month six, you got, you know, 15 orders, something like
yep.
that. You're just gradually growing, but
sure.
you realize you're really not making the money that you need to make, and you start doing all these dollar per hour type of stuff.
Yep.
And I can never even afford to hire an employee because I can never pay somebody as little as I pay myself
yeah.
to do this. So saying that, you're already incrementally growing. two orders, four, six, yeah. eight, 10, 12, right?
Okay.
And you know you're growing a little bit. So as you're raising these prices, how do you properly measure that number? Because you are already growing.
Yeah, it's tough. One of the things that you can do is you can just plot your growth.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
So you can just do a traditional chart mm-hmm. with PowerPoint or Excel or Google or whatever that just has your sales every month. And just draw the line, sales and quantity, and see how much you're growing. And as you change your profit, as you change your pricing, just make sure that line is going in the same direction. And then if not, you can adjust.
Yeah. Okay. So you could also just like steal your fourth grade kid's graph paper.
You could do that. You could plot it that way if you want to.
Okay then. So that is a good point too, because that's something that we do look at is you plot your data as much as you can. You could do number of orders, units of shirts, dollars coming in. These are all three
things.
Profit per shirt. Profit overall, and
yes.
chart all of this stuff, and then you can look for trends
yep.
on what's going on.
If you're a fan of The Office, these are the TPS reports.
They really
and we do a couple of dozen.
Yeah, we do a lot of them.
Month.
We do a lot of them, and we figure just because we want to know the business.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this way, somebody comes in and says, "What's going on with this in the market?" We know what's going on.
Hey, you know what? I really like the tipping point too, especially if you do a face-to-face or a market business or a retail mm-hmm. business, because you'll get immediate response. Like if you don't say anything about the price, we've got a bunch of customers that do a market every week.
Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah.
So if you're selling shirts or promotional products at a market every week, then raise your prices $2 a shirt
mm-hmm.
and count the number of sales that you get and see if anybody says anything.
But Mark, I bought shirts from you a few times before. They've always been $16 or are they $18?
Yeah, they have. Do you think 18 is too much? Because we thought it was fair.
Well, you just always sold it to me for $16.
Yeah, that's
before.
True. If you want, you know what I can do is pick a couple of shirts and I'll sell you them at $16 and then bring $4 extra with you next time you come.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we thought it was worth the extra $2. Do you still like those shirts?
Yeah.
How long are those shirts going to last you, do you think? Are you going to walk down to the two stalls down and spend $4 on a Coke and a bag of popcorn that are going to be gone in an hour? Spend $2 with me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
just make the case.
Yeah. And
if they notice.
If they do. And I would also say that, you would just have to be, I like being like just really honest about this
yeah,
stuff too.
Yeah, sure.
You just say, with the cost of doing business and the cost of shirts, everybody wants to blame everything on tariffs now, so just say that word. but none of your stuff comes from China. Yeah, but tariffs. You know? But you could just talk about, listen, the cost of doing business, I'm trying to grow my business, I'm doing different things like that. I've been looking at it. I really think that $18 is still a fair price.
Yeah.
I'm doing a lot of things to improve the work I put into them and improve like the quality of the product I'm delivering.
I really
think 18 is a really good price, and I'd love for you to stay my customer. So here's what, because you were surprised today,
yeah.
$16 for
That's
all the
it.
Shirts you want to buy today. And next time, you know, if you still love them just as much, 18 would be
I've got another good one.
Sure.
Blame it on your accountant.
Okay.
So you know what? I met with my accountant
mm-hmm.
and we took a look at all the numbers. And $18 is the price that I need
yeah.
to start charging for the shirts. That was his advice.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That's really good,
I
too.
I like that, too. I'm blaming other people.
Yeah. Tariffs, you know?
Tariffs. My accountant said the tariffs.
That's
the tipping point. That's the Mark Stevenson
and
tipping point.
I like that, Greg. You just continually go up a little bit over some time.
Yeah.
Get a feel for it. You might lose a customer that isn't panic button mode yet.
Yep.
Just because you lost one, you're going to have to use your sales, your salesmanship and all of these things as you're talking to these people to help retain
right.
some of them. And sometimes you do, you offer that discount and tell them next time
So I just want to do a little, and I want you all to do this with me. Just
all right.
do a little mental math here.
Mm-hmm. Can I use a pen?
Yes.
Okay.
For your mental math. So do you have to imagine it? So let's say that you make $10 a shirt. Most mm-hmm. of you make more than that. If you're in retail or going to markets and things like that. But let's say if you make $10 a shirt now and you raise your prices by $2,
mm-hmm.
your costs all stay the same. Mm-hmm. So that means you're going to make an extra $2 a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have to sell, if you didn't make that, that price change, you'd have to sell an extra 5 shirts
mm-hmm.
to make that same amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
You could look at it, you can sell 5 less shirts. 5 people can go decide to shop somewhere else, and you would save the work it took to make those shirts, and you'd make the same amount of money. Or you're making an extra 20%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, and the part where you say, you know, you lost 1 or 2 customers,
yeah,
but you made the same amount of money, it's a scary feeling and thought.
Yeah.
But you're actually making the money that you need to make to stay in business.
Yeah, but it's also kind of like if you have a day job and you could get the same amount of money for working 20% less time.
Yeah.
You know, that's over an hour and a half to work less but make the same amount of money. Would you do that?
Yeah, and that's actually where I was going with it on the money you need to make to stay in business.
Yeah.
Because so many people start, you know, side jobs and side hustles and they quit them because the effort and time they're putting into it is just not worth what's going on. So this will help to make it worth it. So number two.
Yes. Number two is a new product change tactic.
Okay.
And I like this. It's a little bit of a safety valve.
Mm-hmm.
If you're uncomfortable with the tipping point, or you could do both. If you bring in a new product or you have a new design, then that's a great time, an excuse to raise your prices.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use hats, for example, if you bring in a new kind of hat or have a new, fresher design, you can charge more. Just like in a retail environment, every year, retail clothing shops come out with their new stuff. Their old stuff is a little bit cheaper. The new stuff is a lot more expensive.
Yeah. How do you think they got phones to go from being like $50 to $1,500?
Yeah, know? There you
they
go.
They make a new one every year and increase the price by $100.
That's great.
But I'm sure part of it is that. Part of it is the new, and they're raising their price
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, to cover some things. So, but all, with that, you can also, you can do this in a few different ways. You can go ahead and find a shirt or a hat or something like that that's similar to what you sell, but maybe is that bump up in quality better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's a pre-shrunk shirt, or maybe it's
yeah.
whatever it might be, or just it feels a little softer,
yep.
or it's a little heavier, whatever it is. And it costs you marginally more, 50 cents more per shirt. But take that 50 cents more per shirt and turn it into $3 more or $4 more per shirt in retail. You actually are delivering a product that is better,
yep.
and it feels better. It's a real easy excuse to talk about the increase in price. And I like where you put, you know, leave the older ones as is, or don't offer the older ones ever unless somebody is really pushing for it. Let me see if I can still get those for you.
Yeah, I like that too, because, and I'll give a plug for Coleman & Company and the wholesale apparel.
Yeah.
You know, there's some good stuff happening there. So you might have the opportunity to get a really good quality shirt, even if it's just a different design, for a great price, and be able to upcharge for it,
mm-hmm.
you know, just because it's different and new. And this will also tell you that your customers are willing to pay more. You know, if anyone walks into your shop or your market or orders from your online store and they pick a more expensive garment over a less expensive mm-hmm. garment, then you should pay attention to that, because they're telling you that they had $20 or $25 to spend on that shirt.
Yeah.
You're just asking them for 15 or 20.
Yeah.
They had that extra money.
Yeah.
They
and
didn't go out and make an extra $10.
Willing to spend it.
Yeah.
We have the complete gamut of apparel to choose from, you know,
yeah.
Mark and I, in regards to just like you guys do too, you know, often, mm-hmm. but we've known this industry for years. We know a bunch of people. We can order and pay for shirts, and we can custom design them, all this stuff. I never, ever buy the cheapest one that
yeah.
they sell.
Yeah.
Ever.
No.
Well, I'm just making noise on my microphone, but this you know, golf polo style shirt is definitely not the cheapest one. And
yes.
I know the style you're wearing is not the cheapest
not.
One, but it's the one that you're willing to pay for the quality that it is.
Right.
And your customers are going to do that too. So if you're only offering a cheapest option, a way to bring in something new.
Yep.
And charge more for it. And while you're charging more for it, charge more than you would have charged in your old mindset.
Yeah.
Charge what your new mindset
would
charge.
It's a great opportunity, and then you'll know pretty quickly if no one chooses the $25 shirt,
mm-hmm.
then you'll know that your market and your design, your customer base, where you are, your location, all those things demand a lower price garment.
Yeah, and definitely the trap you can get into here is do not give up too quickly and do not give up without making sure you have a really good pitch for this new product that you've got. You've got to sell its features. Apparel all has features, you know.
Nobody knows.
You know,
but if
you watch some TV commercials, you hear it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, on TV commercials, you know, just different sports apparel or different things, like they talk about it not shrinking, or they talk about sweating or not smelling or not staining,
yep.
or whatever it is. Every shirt that you buy from a wholesale vendor has a description on it with features of the garment. Learn how to sell those features before you give up on the price.
I agree. Now, number three, mm-hmm. I think is pretty much right in your wheelhouse.
Okay.
So we want to talk about using discounts and offers
mm-hmm.
to figure out if lower prices might work.
Yeah, sure. So to figure out if lower prices specifically.
Yes.
Okay. So it's pretty simple, right? You have your price that you have, and this is a blend of if you're getting too high or too low. You've got that shirt, say that's $25,
yep.
and you're trying to sell it. So you can immediately offer a discount on this garment. Say it's not selling too much, and you could offer a discount. Hey, I've got 10% off this particular one. And you take $2.50 off this $25 shirt. And you look to see what kind of impact that actually makes in the sales. So if you do, say you're not selling them at 25, and
right.
you lower it 10%, and you're still not selling it, so maybe you lower it another 10%, and you're still not selling it. At this point in time, it's either the shirt is not worth that, your market doesn't want it, or you can't sell it.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. And you kind of get the opportunity to do the reverse math here.
Uh-huh.
We talked about selling fewer shirts, but at a higher profit margin as being a good thing. Well, what if your labor impact isn't too much and you realize that instead of, you know, selling, let's say, 300 shirts a month
mm-hmm.
at a $10 profit, that if you found the right garment and the right deal, that you could make $9 and sell 500 shirts.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, so discounting doesn't mean that you necessarily are going to make less money overall. Home Depot doesn't make less money because they give you a deal on lights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's that same kind of attitude. You could make significantly more by offering a deal on a particular product.
Yeah, and this is that balance that we're talking about, of finding that right zone, and why knowing your numbers and charting all this information is really important.
Yep.
Because you're going to start to realize this, and it's harder when you have less sales to go off of.
Yes.
So when you've got 10 or 20 orders a month and you're really small, it's harder because your fluctuations in month are going to be, if it's two orders, you fluctuated 10% in your orders.
Yeah.
So you've really got to look at this stuff and figure out a good method. So a method that you can start with in doing this, I think, is kind of using these three that we have so far together.
You
bring in a new apparel and bring in a new piece of apparel, start to sell it, and really get up there in the price. All right? Not ridiculously, you know, silly high.
See?
But high, like, a level uncomfortably high for you. It's got to be uncomfortably high.
I personally want your friends to call you a name. That's how, what? Like, you'll never sell something for that price.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want you to charge a little bit more than that. And if no one cusses at you in the store or gives you a bad comment in your chat, then keep raising your price.
Yeah.
Here's what I want. Yeah. I want all of you to be able to make one shirt a month and make $10,000.
Make $10,000. That's the $10,000 shirt.
Yeah.
But really, when it comes to this stuff, it should be uncomfortably high,
yeah.
because that means you're pushing your limits. And then at that point in time, you can offer it uncomfortably high, and you could offer some discounts.
Yeah.
To see that if is, you know, is the uncomfortably high price. You have to make sure you actually try to sell it at that price, and do you sell it?
Yeah.
And if you offer it at a little bit of a discount, does it work? And you're going to have to, if you're selling in person specifically, you're going to have to use some of the other skills you've learned over the course of listening to this podcast.
Yes.
And listen to the communication and of this customer and how they're verbally reacting to things and non-verbally reacting if you want to offer that discount or not.
Yes.
You know, so you're going to have to figure this out. And remember, you always have to sell the features of your business and the apparel if you want to get that better money for it.
Yeah, and I'll also say that you have to already be profitable before you can offer discounts.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
So if you don't know your numbers, don't go broke because you're offered 10% to see if this would work.
Yeah.
Right? You've got to know. You've got to have that flexibility, which means you've had to do one of those first two first.
Yeah.
Unless you already know you're wildly profitable and you have plenty of room to play with. But really, the reason that we put this in here is because people coupon and discount for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not my favorite strategy. But it is a very popular and successful strategy that might work for your business. You just need to add it to the mix and find out.
Yeah, and I agree. It's not something that we don't. You know, if you haven't gotten a Coleman & Company coupon, I mean, nobody really did. You know, like we have some discounts in the beginning and offers in here every once in a while, but that's not really the strategy. We try to make the prices really fair.
Right.
We try to have a really good product. We try to deliver. I mean, we've again all the reasons and to buy from us are the same reasons to buy from you, just different words.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
So you had to figure that out.
Yep. So so number four is this is where you get into real marketing.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Because you're talking about A/B testing. You show different prices to different users and measure the performance. So talk about how we might do that and how they might do
that. We would never do that.
Never offer two different prices.
I think really what it is when it comes down to this is you're going to start quoting some apparel, you know, and you know there is strategy to this because you don't want to be selling shirts too that have your local high school design on it, and then when one mom comes in, you're like, "Oh, it's $20." And then the next mom comes in, it's $25. You could start developing a reputation there.
Yeah.
But we're talking about like custom orders for things that are you know that when you're looking at these customers as a whole, they're different orders, they're different people, but you know what the strategy is behind it.
Yeah.
So you could offer a price break that's at a different time, you know, like maybe you offer, you know, hey, for you, I'm going to do a price break after 10 shirts.
Right.
You know, kind of an unwritten thing. So what do you think about
that?
Well,
I think, you know, more what I'm thinking of is I talked to one customer, Keely, out in Texas, I think she is, and she does different markets.
Okay.
So she'll do like a market on Wednesday and a market on Saturday, and she'll go to a different town. You know, $20 at market number one and $22 at market number two.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You know, $24 at market number three. Mm-hmm. How did we do compared to the last time we did these?
Yeah.
You know, and I wouldn't feel bad about that
no,
at all.
No, that's you and know, it's a different location because it, this is it's a different location, it's a different
it can also,
time.
It can also be if you're serving two slightly different markets or you have a nice email list, you could try sending out an email, you know, two different coupons.
Mm-hmm.
You could try sending out a new design. One is priced at $25 and one is priced at $27 and see what the response to those are. And this is market testing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you, and this is what I mean about the emotional and moral implications that people have, is I can go to two different Walmarts and find different prices.
Yeah.
You know, I can go to, I live near downtown Tampa. 100% of everything is more expensive than the same things in Plant City. 100%. They're the same things.
Yeah.
So the grocer in downtown Tampa does not feel bad about charging more. You know, so, you know, you should look at this kind of A/B testing for relative performance. You may sell more at $27 than you did at $25. You don't know.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to give yourself the opportunity to test however you can.
Yeah.
And different prices to different users is one way to do that.
Yeah, it can be tricky, but it can be really easy when you put it that way. Like, you're going to some different markets, just try a different price, try a different sale, try a different thing like that. And you can also do the same thing when you're quoting different jobs as well. So if, you know, as you're quoting jobs for say a small business, you know, versus like the school, you know, you could try to quote different things to them. It's a different market. It's a different type of people.
Yep.
And you see how both of those react. And then if it reacts well with one, you can
try it with the other one. Yep, that's true. We've also got number five here is to create different versions of your products and offer them at different prices to see which performs better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like a new product,
but
maybe there's something just slightly different. Maybe you can try a 10% larger design and charge more, you know, or two locations and charge significantly more. Mm-hmm. It's like the new product strategy to test out new products.
Yeah, you can also try, there might be a Port & Company shirt and a Jersey's shirt that are really similar shirts.
Yeah.
But they're different shirts.
Right.
And they're really similar in cost and similar in weight and similar in style and all these things, but they're two different shirts. So you could actually, these are costing you the same, but they're different products. And you could go ahead and just say, the Port & Company one, I'm going to charge $3 more for.
Yeah.
And that's a good test because the product is relatively close to the same.
Yeah. And it would be really interesting. I'm interested to hear from you guys if you do that, how successful the more expensive shirts are.
Mm-hmm.
Because people will make a decision to buy something more expensive because it's more expensive.
Yeah.
Because if you charge more, they assume certain things about the product.
For sure.
And about themselves if they wear it.
Yeah, no, so. Definitely. Okay. So, you talked about the email. You had made a note about that. So, we've got a few more notes here. These right here are all some different tactics and ways to do it. And then we wrote down some things that are alternative ways to kind of raise your prices. Because there's one of, previous strategy is just raise your freaking prices.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you charge $20, you charge $22. You charge $12, you charge $14. You just raise your prices. Whatever it costs, you just raise it.
Can I make it simple and say all of you should raise your prices 10% right now?
Yeah.
I should have started with that. just forget testing. Just raise your prices by 10% and see what happens.
So,
okay.
But here are some ways that you can raise prices and in a softer way, and in a way that doesn't feel as brute and as harsh.
Okay.
And also, you can raise your prices 10% and still do all of these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can do these in addition too.
Yep.
So if you're trying to get to 20% more, this is a way to get that extra 10%.
Okay.
So adjusting discounts on volume.
Okay.
So typically, a way apparel will go is you buy one shirt, it's this. You buy 10 shirts, it's this.
Yeah,
50,
okay.
100 plus.
I get it.
So move those tiers. So if you normally charge 1 to 10 shirts, it's the same price. You get a discount at 10, move it to a dozen. Move it to 15.
Yeah, I get it. That's a good idea.
So that means a percentage of your orders, that order that was 11 shirts you used to give a 15% discount on, that order of 11 shirts no longer got that. So they have to do one of two things. They have to buy 4 more shirts, win, or they pay more money for the 11 shirts.
I love that strategy. That's great.
So just bump it up across the board.
Yes.
And this is something else that you can do in when you had mentioned the tipping point method.
Yeah.
You could do this as well too.
Yeah.
You know, 10, 12, 15, and maybe maybe you get up to 20 before you get your first discount. And there are plenty of places that do that. They don't offer a discount until you get to a pretty big number.
Yeah.
So add value extras.
Yeah, if you're not doing this part, then you have not nearly listened to enough podcasts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? We're constantly talking about bumping the order, your average order value, and the profitability by adding more things to every order, by offering more profitable things to everyone that buys anything from you.
So you raise all your prices of all your hats and shirts and things like that by $5, a good number. But you give some value with that.
Yeah.
So some things you could do are like you include a card with wash instructions on every shirt. You could buy a stack of 500 or 1,000 cards for their pennies a piece.
Yep.
So now every shirt comes with a tag with wash instructions. They're all individually bagged with a clear bag that you get from Uline that cost, again, pennies.
You're kind of raising the customer experience.
Yeah, you're raising the customer experience. You're raising the value, so when they receive this, it feels like it's worth more. And it is worth more, for one, because you are providing some value to that. There is value to those things. And when you can also offer some things that are that aren't necessarily tangible but are nice to say. Like one idea that I said was a 25 with every shirt that you buy from us, when you buy more than 20 shirts, you get a 25% size exchange. What does that mean? That means that if you order the shirts and you have one or two people that the large or the extra large wasn't right for them.
Yes.
And
it's too small.
And they couldn't trade.
Okay.
Then they can bring that shirt back to you. You'll take it and they could buy another one for 25% off the original price.
That's good. I like
that. And you can give them a little or whatever percent off you think is the right percent off.
Yeah.
But so, that's like a comfort guarantee of some sort.
That's pretty good. This is kind of one of the strategies that Cold Essie uses.
Mm-hmm.
Is we add so much additional value for the same price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't pay for a direct-to-garment printer and then pay for training and then pay for support. You know, we make it a pleasant and easy transaction, and we throw in things like a couple of T-shirts for you to test your printer out. There's a webcam that we send out, you know, as a value add, so you can work with our support and training people if you're having any kind of an issue. So we build as much value into our products as possible, and that's how we maintain the prices that we charge.
Yeah, yeah, and with that, it's like a webcam doesn't cost a lot, right? But the value to everybody in the transaction, it's worth so much, right?
Huge.
So like that's, I consider it to very similar to that wash instruction card.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the training for the user to, when they get their shirt, how to put it in the wash.
Yeah.
It improves their experience. So the webcam improves the owner of an embroidery machine's experience because they can plug it in and say, here, this is what it's doing.
Yes.
It improves the trainer's and technician's experience because they can say, here's how you fix it easily. And the same thing with your customers. So provide things like that that add to the experience, and it's worth more.
Yeah.
And you're able to get the price that you know is fair for your product, really.
Yeah.
And sometimes you do have to do things to be able to really get the price that's fair for your product.
So tell me about this idea number three here that you have about raising fees.
Yeah. So a lot of folks, like, they have no setup fee.
Yeah.
Start charge one.
Okay.
$10. Go modest.
Right.
10 is better than zero.
So you're talking. Oh, I see. So you're talking about somebody. You've got digital heat effects.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody brings you a graphic that they copied and pasted off their website.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of our customers will just incorporate vectorizing and making that legible into the price of the T-shirts.
Yeah.
You're saying they may be adding a $10 or $20 fee on top of it. That'll definitely impact.
Yeah, and just start adding fees. You know, if somebody doesn't have their art ready, just start to charge a little bit of a setup fee.
Yeah.
And plenty of places do it. It's nice to say we have no fees, but I don't have any data to say that saying you have no setup fees actually gets you any more sales than if you did have a setup
yes,
fee.
Yes, but I do know that if you don't charge a setup fee, it 100% eats into your profits.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you've got a 10-shirt order and you're making $10 a piece, that's $100. But if it takes you 2 hours to redo their art, you've got to assign a value to that. As opposed to if you charge them $20, you know, you just made an extra 20%.
Yeah. So right? this is something that you could do. And it's you don't necessarily have to do all of these things, but these are all ways that you kind of figure out for yourself.
Yeah.
No, the no setup fee is really part of my marketing because everybody in my area and people are liking that. Great. Then you do a different one.
Yeah.
So next one we've got is increase costs for something of a higher perceived value.
Yeah.
So this one's kind of cool. If you sell glitter, like vinyl, and you put that on T-shirts or something like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like the like you're offering a new product.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even though it's not going to add tons of expense, the perceived value is definitely higher.
Yeah, so you charge more for something like that.
Yeah.
You might sell a bunch of different caps, but you never did like a moisture wick, type of a cap that's got a performance cap. So their performance cap might only be 50 cents more, just like we talked about before, but you charge $4 more for this cap because there is a better perceived value for it. And that's just the way that a lot of things
work. Is the one with the propeller and the fan, is that a better value?
Has somebody asked where to get those wholesale yet?
Absolutely. 100%. All right, so I like number five here is just a suggestion about the timed price increase. Mm-hmm. So if you have a goal of raising your prices by 20%, if you have something specific, or if you're like me and would just continually raise your prices forever until people stopped buying stuff. If you've got a goal of 20 or 25% more that you want to charge by the end of the year, then do that slowly. Don't do it all at once.
Yeah, and this can especially be for if you've got some regular customers.
Yeah.
Because you've got some regular customers and because you've listened to all of this and you've listened to all these podcasts that you need to raise your prices a bit. You've got to make the right money for your business. So you know you're not ripping them off, because if you don't do this, you're not going to be able to sell them shirts anymore, right? One day, it's going to stop happening. So, but you also know if you hit them with 20% right away, they may give, you might try to do that, and they give you some backlash. They might not. They might just say, oh yeah, I understand my prices go up sometimes. I just raise prices to my customers, especially if it's a business owner. You might just hear that. So then if you get a little bit of backlash or you realize that this is a really price sensitive customer, then you do 5%.
Yeah.
And then you do 5% later on and you continue with that.
Or if you're just really timid or you're emotionally attached to charging $25 or $15 for a shirt, maybe if your goal is to raise it from 15 to 20, maybe you do it $1 a quarter until it gets to 20.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can be a softer approach. Don't use any of these things as excuses to not actually do something bold. I prefer you do something bold, but take into all of these things into account as side plans and backup plans and a way to get to that road.
It's good. I like that. And this offer faster delivery at a higher price. Talk about that idea of charging more.
Yeah, so I a couple different things that I notice on this, right, when I look out in the world and what this means. So there's a place we order some stuff from for here, and they have a couple different price bumps for doing things. So they prep all the artwork for what you're ordering first, and they charge... I think they charge like a $5 fee if you want to sign off on it or something like that, right? So they charge a fee for actually signing off on the artwork. Okay. If you just say, no, I don't want to sign off on it, I sent you the artwork, I know it's good, you guys are going to do it right, they charge you less for that. So that's less work for them. But gosh, I really want to approve this stuff.
Yeah.
Right? They charge a little fee for that. And then they charge us another fee for delivering it faster. So they have like levels that they offer it for speed. And if I want my order processed today, then they charge like an extra couple $100. If I want it processed in 3 days, if I want it processed in 4 to 7 days, which is like this big mystery number at the end, which I'm sure, by the way, 7 has never happened.
Right.
Because I don't pay those fees because I'm not ordering things in a rush. But 7's never happened. 4 is usually there.
Yeah.
So that's something. And then it reminds me of something else. Sometimes on Amazon, you'll see the free Prime.
Yeah.
And then they'll show you, like, get it by Wednesday for $5, or something like that.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, or it won't be Prime eligible. So it'll say, get it between December 4th and December 17th. Or pay $5 and get it guaranteed by December 4th.
Yeah, great way to offer something free and then charge.
Yeah.
Then charge for it.
So when it's like, so plenty of times I've ordered again the 4th to the 17th, and almost every time it's there on the 4th.
Yeah, 5th.
But if you need it during that time, and you know it's in a rush, you're going to pay the $5 for the peace of mind.
That's so that is a great way to increase your prices on apparel.
So what do you do? You could say 14-day delivery free.
Yeah.
You know, priority, 7-day delivery, there's a $20 charge for that.
Yeah.
Rush, 3-day delivery, $80 fee.
Yeah.
And you know that 14 days is almost never there. You could just say, you know, 8 to 14 days. And you know that most of the time you're delivering that in 8. And that's your goal anyway. And your goal is really to deliver it in 5, 6, or 7.
Right.
But what you do is you're giving, for one, you're doing a couple things. You're prioritizing those people who need it in a rush. And you give yourself a reason to do their order first because they paid you for it.
Yep.
And the second thing is I don't remember. Actually, no, that was it.
Yeah.
That
so I like the idea not only of actually making money from this, mm-hmm. but actually making customers feel great when you because you can use it as a giveaway too.
Yeah.
Say, you know what? I can do this one for you.
Yeah.
And I'll waive that 3-day fee.
Yeah, I do. I do a 7-day priority for all priority customers. I'll waive that for you. You'll get the 7-day for free, or if you want the rush, you know, I could do it for 50.
Yep.
You know, stuff like that.
So the I think the moral of the story of episode 114.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good number.
The moral of the story is you're not charging enough.
Yeah.
And you should be charging more in 99.9% of the time, and I guarantee that you're not one of the people. You're not one of the 0.1%.
Yeah, and you know what's really interesting about this, too, is we read and hear the stories about, you know, the $4 hat and the $9, $8, $5, mm-hmm. the $1, I'll pay you a dollar shirt, you
right,
know? I mean,
right.
The number always gets lower, and we always hear these stories, but we do these exercises frequently, where we send out surveys to groups of people, we read surveys done by industry organizations, and other times we work on these small video projects, if you've seen any of our videos over the years where we talk about this is how much it costs to make a shirt, this is how much you could sell it for. We will just randomly call. We'll just like, all right, call Atlanta, call Baltimore, and call Kansas City. And find an embroidery shop and ask them how much it would cost for 20 hats. And you don't find them. You know, most of these places that are good and in business and you can find them on Google, all the things you're doing because you're listening to this podcast, right?
Yeah.
You can find them on Google. They have a website. When they answered the phone, they answered it, you know, in a nice way. They had a pricing system readily available to quote, you know, all of these things of a good and successful shop. And they're all charging relatively this really fair price where I know that they're making money on it. And they're not ripping anybody off. They're charging the right amount of money that it costs to make this and stay in business.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so two morals of the story.
Okay.
But they both boil down to you're not charging enough.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some strategies that you can go through. And I'd say this is one of the, some of the show notes that these folks should print and put up next to their computer or next to their embroidery machine or whatever it is to think about every time you get an order, every time you quote an order, every time you hit the road to sell some shirts.
Yeah. That's great, and one last thing to think about here is, so we humans, people, business owners, I don't know what trait it is about us, but you hear about it all the time. You'll listen to the news, and you'll say, hear what people are saying about this, you know, or you'll say, oh, the reviews on this company say this, or the reviews on this product say this, or there's places out there charging, you know, a dollar for a hat. But really, this is typically like one or two people.
Yeah.
Like the reviews on Amazon, a bunch of people are saying that it broke as soon as they got it. Well, how many people? Oh, that was like 15.
Right.
Well, how many reviews are there? 9,000. You know? So, or just, you know, say, oh, like people on Twitter are blowing up about this thing. Well, how many people?
Right.
Eight?
Hey.
Okay, and then like 50 people retweeted it about of how many? Oh, 40 million, you know? So the same thing is with these like prices is that you're going to have somebody come in and say, I can get shirts somewhere for cheaper than this.
Yeah.
Oh, no, well, mine are digital and 100% cotton. I offer a 25% size guarantee, and I put a card in, you know, all these things.
Yeah.
They do that too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know, okay, well, they, and then you never hear about it again, maybe.
Yeah.
So, also, I'll tell you, I've been in sales a really long time and sold a whole lot of different things. And like most of those people I tell you, most of them are lying to you.
Yes.
They did not get that
absolutely.
Price.
Absolutely.
or they were completely confused.
Yeah.
Which is why we tell you all the time to don't just quote prices over the phone, but write it down and have a system, because people are going to get confused about what the hidden costs are and all things like that.
So
that's a bunch of stuff.
And just being who I am,
yeah.
I would have said, that's their going out of business sale. All right, everybody. Yeah. Thanks for listening to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. Share it with a friend. This has been Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
And I'm Mark Vila from Coldesi and Coleman & Company.
Yeah, you guys.
And coldesigraphics.com.
And yes, you're right.
Yeah, there we go.
You guys have a great business.